Good morning. I should make you all get up and do some physical activity. I know it's early in the morning on the last day of our conference, so thank you for staying and coming to this. I don't have a disclosure slide, and I have no financial relationships to disclose, but I do want to let you know that the Way to Win for Life program I did found and I was creator of, and it is 100% volunteer on my behalf. I am not paid to do this. So I am fully funded through Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield of Western Pennsylvania, and the program operates under the auspices of the Meaningful Family YMCA. Of interest, the program didn't start as a public health initiative, one iota. It began as an offshoot of an adult bike race that my husband and I co-coordinated over the last 18 years. And about 6 years ago, the Girl Scouts of Western Pennsylvania contacted us and said, they were the beneficiary of the bike race, and they said this would be an awesome program for a badge earning project. So it began as something called Wills to Wellness, still using the moniker W2W, but the first year involved 12 segments completed over 12 weeks for children and girls to earn a badge for the Girl Scouts. The evaluation at that point revealed that the program length was way too long, 12 weeks, and the input from children and parents was that you had to drive your kids every week or every weekend to participate in one segment of the program. It just became cumbersome. So we revised it in 2007 to become a one-day or a half-day seminar at a specific location. And we did three pilot tests that looked at three different venues in our area. I'm in northwestern Pennsylvania. We did one in Crawford County, Erie County, and Warren County. And the new pilot had five segments: nutrition for active cycling, taking care of your bicycle, stretching and heart rate, proper attire, and then actually going for a ride. These five segments took place in a half a day in a gymnasium where we rotated the students from point to point. Then word started to spread about the program. I received calls from organizations outside of the Girl Scouts, their interest in getting their children involved in cycling. And the next step at that point was obviously to reinvent the program, pull it away from the Girl Scouts, and make it a more community affair. So I used the MATCH model to involve the community at various levels. We involve schools, health professionals, sports fitness experts, college sports teams, and actually clubs as well, school administrators, parents, and the children. And at this point, what we had realized was that there was a need for more physical activity in the school systems, in particular at the elementary school level. What they were finding was that children in rural Pennsylvania, there weren't any places for the children to play. Recess virtually doesn't exist. And if it did, it basically involved going outside and sitting out in the school yard. A lot of our schools don't even have playgrounds. So basically, through the assistance of this community members and the whole key interest groups, we created a program called Way to Win for Life. Now the kids know it as W2W, and we have now federally trademarked our logo, and we're planning to actually put together a book that explains how you can do this program in your own community. The goal of Way to Win for Life, based on the MATCH model, we want to encourage participation in any sport for fun, fitness, or competition in order basically to combat childhood obesity. I'm not going to read the slide, but basically there were three objectives. We wanted to use community resources, we wanted to provide access to sports, and we wanted to enable other organizations to partner with us to introduce these sports to help our children become more active. So the revised segment kind of looks like this. We ended up with three segments, and they were able to be delivered on varying ways depending on the time, the need, and the location, because some of our locations actually took place in a classroom. You can't really have the children biking around desks in a classroom, so we had to basically develop segments that you could do in a very varying setting. So we had one segment was healthy lifestyle. And then we talked about the sports attire and the safety concepts of this particular sport. And then we actually gave them a taste of the sport. I have three different formats that I provide this program in. One is at our after-school site. We provide that on three consecutive Wednesdays in the months that you see here in the fall, and actually we do it in the springtime as well. We do a middle school program, which is once a month throughout the entire school year. I bring one sport in for half an hour and explain it once a month, and then I have two community health fairs, one in the spring and one in the summertime. We evaluated the program, and in 2006 and 2007, basically, we did process evaluation only. In 2006, what we were trying to do was just improve attendance. In 2007, we thought, well, wait a minute, we need to measure something more than just, you know, getting attendance. Is this really doing anything for the children? So we did a knowledge test. We asked them five questions based on the five segments that we had in that half-day seminar. And we found that it was really improving their education of sports, and that was a nice thing, but it really wasn't showing whether it was having an impact on the physical activity of the children or whether they were having an impact on the childhood obesity rates in our county. In 2008 and 9, we basically did the same things. But then this past year, we, after really concentrating on, okay, what are our objectives, what are our goals, we decided to adopt the PDPAR, which is the past day physical activity recall for these children. And if any of you have ever used the PDPAR with elementary school students, it is a very challenging thing to do. Just as a side note, we sat down with each child 101 and went through the test. And we really only did the front page of the PDPAR, going through the pictures. You know, what did you do after school? Did you sit down at a computer? Were you playing computer games? Were you doing your homework? Did you go outside and play? And it did take a lot of time to administer the PDPAR, but I think we have some really good results from that, just because we did take the time with our students to sit there and ask them the specific questions. Now, the demographics, I did the test, even though I had four after-school sites for the program, I only did the testing in two schools. I have 160 children total that I could have done this with. We ended up with 53 who took the pre-test. And as you can see in the post-test, I went back to the same students a year later, and we had some attrition. We had 31 students who were no longer part of the program. So we had a total sample of 22 students in kindergarten through sixth grade who did the pre- and post-test. And based on those results, we had some interesting results, actually. If you take a look at this, the hard activity level increased significantly. We had about a 21.5% percentile increase in physical activity that was reported from the previous day. At the pretest, 16% of the children had said that they had participated in some hard activity levels for at least 20 minutes after school. And at the post-test, we had 37.7% say they did. Moderate activity level also increased, and the light activity level decreased. But the very light activity level increased as well. We believe that with the age of the group that we had from pre to post, remember it's 1 year later, so you're talking kindergartners were during the pre-test, they were in first grade for the post-test, and so on and so forth. We think the very light activity had to do with homework increases, even though they were maybe increased their physical activity level in the hard and moderate area. They also increased the time they sat doing homework, because in first grade you don't have as much homework as you do in second grade, and so on and so forth. We do not know that for sure. That is our guesstimation as to how that came about. The activity changes between pre- and post-test overall. Basically, we saw 59% of the students had an increase in activity level, 27% had a decrease, and about 20% had the same. Now, our program limitations, obviously in 2006, we weren't a public health program at the time. It was a badge earning for the Girl Scouts, but we did do, like I said, a process evaluation. The biggest limitation there was our program length. 12 weeks is too long when you're dealing with elementary school students who rely on their parents to drive them somewhere. That was a huge barrier in the learning process. In 2007, we did address that and had a one-day seminar, but the limitation, again, was our program measurements. We were not measuring for success in reaching the goal. And in 2008 to the present, we finally got, with the MATCH model and reinventing ourselves as a public health program, we finally have some stronger data, but the limitations with the PDPAR is dealing with the elementary school students. I had just a handful. They said couldn't remember what they did after school the day before. You ask a kindergartner what they had for breakfast at 10 o'clock in the morning, they probably can't remember. So there is some limitations in using that particular tool for elementary school students. And the biggest thing that we are addressing now for the 2012-2013 school year is getting a parent's component to the program. You can teach a child about physical education. You can teach a child about a sport. You can have them run around and do track and field after school for this particular program. But if they go home and their parents aren't supportive or they don't understand it, or they live in an environment where they're in an urban area or there's no sidewalks to go for a walk, they won't continue that activity. So having a parent involved or the guardian involved in the program development and the segment of the program will be the most helpful. One of the things that I don't have on the slide is moving forward, of course, the parental component will be added to it in a year, but this year what we are adding for the 2011-2012 school year, we are improving our communications in the community on this program. We have a Facebook presence, which is mainly postings for Facebook for parents. We found that kids age 12 and under, obviously, they're not allowed to have a Facebook account unless they lie about their age. We found a website that is a sister site to Facebook called Skid-E Kids, and we have over 1,000 followers on our Way to Win for Life program. All we really do on that site is post health messages. Get out and play. Get off your computer. Did you eat your vegetables, or you know, did you have a piece of fruit at lunchtime? Small messages, because you can't put multiple messages in that age division. They won't remember it. But if you post on a regular basis on these websites to tell these children, you know, don't forget to eat your Wheaties, basically, is what we're saying. We can't measure whether they're actually doing that at this point in time, but at least we're putting the communications out there. I do have one success story to tell. We had one 10-year-old child. He was very obese in one of our classes, and he was introduced to the program in 2008. We were doing weightlifting and strength training with the children. We had resistance bands that we were allowing the children to use and then take home with them. Well, apparently he went home, and his father, who's also obese, and he was talking to him about it, and together, apparently the father was very ripe for trying to get himself into shape. Together, the two of them joined a local gym, and they lost a significant amount of weight. Now the child is within healthy parameters. I do not know about the father, but from the child's angle, they both continue to go to the gym together as a father and son activity, and he is still a participant with the Way to Win for Life program. Actually, this next year, he'll be in seventh grade, so he won't even qualify for the program. But my conclusion of this type of program is that there are behavioral health changes that they're difficult to measure, but it could be said that the program can have an influence on the success of reducing childhood obesity one child and one family at a time. It's very hard to reach the entire community with one particular intervention, but we do have some potential with this, and we have some resources that we're trying to implement in using the Way to Win program as a community tool. And I do have some references as well.